Hey, it's John Canzano. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe. And thanks to all the listeners and all of our sponsors who help make the Bald-Faced Truth the number one sports radio show in Portland. Enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. This is the BFT with John Canzano.
And I love that Serena Williams won the Australian Open while carrying a child. I mean, that's even more impressive than 2 years ago when the Denver Broncos defense won the Super Bowl while carrying me. That's right. I'm aware of these things. Okay, Von Miller, thanks again, pal. I owe you.
Yeah. ESPYs last night had some funny moments. Sarah Scrivens, who is, by all accounts, is it a personalization writer for ESPN? I need to get to the bottom of this. She was on the red carpet with Dad last night. How are you, Sarah Scrivens?
Hey, John, I'm doing good. How are you?
What was it like to be on the red carpet and have your dad there?
I mean, I really can't. Don't make me cry. It was a really special moment for me having the chance to bring him down. He's the reason I'm into sports. Cool moment to share.
I'm assuming you got an invite to this, and is it an N1 situation, or how does that happen?
It kind of just was an opportunity that popped up, had the chance to bring someone else, maybe another person, but I was pretty set on bringing my dad, so just brought him along, and he was a great date. Got a little hot out there. We're not used to this L.A. weather, but we survived, so it was pretty sweet.
You went to the University of Oregon. You worked at the Emerald on campus, great student newspaper. I have to think Dad has been supportive all the way. Is Dad why you're in sports writing?
Dad is a very large part of why I'm in sports writing. Diehard Duck fan. Diehard. He was a little insulted the Ducks got no love last night, but I had to remind him, this is a national thing, Dad. You know, this isn't just our Oregon Oregon media anymore. But, he is definitely a big part of why I'm into it today.
What's a personalization writer?
So instead of like a beat writer or, someone who covers a specific team or conference, I'm just kind of making sure that every fan of every team has a well-rounded experience on the .com. So, I mean, one day I could be doing stuff about the Patriots and the next day I could be doing something about, I don't know, like San Diego State, just depending if something's going on. So pretty cool getting to dip my toe in coverage all around the country.
I get to
live in Portland too, which is even better.
And it's interesting because you get probably as a beat reporter. I know I remember getting bored because you're with the same people all the time. You want to change the scenery. You're covering the same team, and I would have welcomed that. Do you find that refreshing that you like no 2 days are the same for you?
Yeah, I mean it's really fun, and it's helped me learn a lot about the hear about them, but. And knowing that your reach is across the country, depending on the team, is pretty cool. So it's fun.
We're talking to Sarah Scrivens with ESPN, and she was at the ESPYs last night. Do you have your dad or you, when you're on the red carpet, what is that like?
It's pretty cool. I mean, we were, full disclosure, we were kind of on like the side. We're not, obviously not the VIPs there, so we're on like the side red carpet, but it's really cool just being down there around all the athletes and all the beautiful people and first award show probably ever, but it's a really cool moment. And, we walk in there and this is kind of for Portland people, I guess. We were standing there and we're like, I wonder who the first celebrity we're going to see is. Who's the first big name we're going to recognize? Sure enough, who comes around the corner but Greg Oden. So that was a pretty good moment, bringing it back to the Portland thing. But, It's surreal to be there with the people that you see on TV and you kind of have on a pedestal. standing, what, 10 feet away from him. So
yeah.
Very cool.
I wonder, so Greg Oden is there. So he's not shying away from everything that happened.
No, I think with the whole, like, you know, the 30 for 30 they did on him or whatever, I think he's embracing it and rolling with it. So
I wanted to be a dentist when I was younger, but then I started to get big, and I kind of realized my hands were so big, it kind of scared the little kids away. I put my hands in their mouth. So, you know, I just realized that basketball, going to the NBA, is a possibility, and that's something I want to use to better my family.
Were you a Blazer fan growing up?
Yeah, actually, when I was in middle school, the first like dateable sports piece I wrote was about, it was a column about why Portland should draft Oden over Oden. They should take him. So obviously I was a proud Oden supporter for a hot second there. but yeah, Blazer fan.
Our guest is Sarah Scrivens. She's with ESPN and was at the ESPYs last night. We played some Peyton Manning cuts, but how was the crowd? How was the atmosphere? Was he funny? Were people rolling? Was it just amusing? What carried the night for you?
I thought he was great. I mean, I've always thought Peyton's a great character, and he just seems like he can kind of poke fun at himself and, you know, obviously get the job done, but still have fun while doing it. And I think it was, you know, the crowd had to warm up to him a little bit, but I think once he kind of got a little relaxed and got a few chuckles, it kind of started flowing a little better, and I think some of the athletes loosened up, and he was good. I liked him. I don't know. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I mean, I wondered who was writing his material, because I thought it was really sharp, and I thought that was professional material. Like, somebody was, you know, somebody was writing those jokes because they were too good.
Yeah, exactly.
Other highlights that you had, because the rest of us, we don't have that seat there at the ceremony as you see things happening. What else do you, like, when you call friends to tell them about it, what are the first few things you tell them?
I mean, it's cool, because obviously being in there and seeing the production, the live production, all the lights, all the music, all the, you know, you look down, you see OBJ running around to say hi to one of his, like, NBA or NFL friends. Like, you know, all these people you see on TV just right there, probably just 10, 20 feet in front of you. But, you know, the fun part for me and my dad was just walking around, and we're going to get a drink before, and we just walked by Jay Billis, or, what's up, man? Or just stuff like that. It's so cool. And it's definitely a memorable experience. But, you know, I love Jimmy V's, like, one of my most inspirational people that I try and channel every day. And, you know, when he said, you laugh, you think, and you cry, that's a heck of a day. And all around, it was a heck of a night. So, awesome.
We're talking to Sarah Scrivens, ESPN personalization writer. You should follow her on Twitter as well. She's a good follow on Twitter, at Sarah E. Is it Sarah E. Scrivens on Twitter?
Yes.
All right, Sarah E. Scrivens on Twitter. What about Dad? What was Dad's highlight? Aside from, I'm going to guess, though, if I talk to him, he's going to say, hey, being with my kid at this event, like, what a memorable life moment.
Yeah, that was, he said that a couple times to me, too, which was awesome. But, you know, we both really loved Vin. Vin Scully, just the energy that man brings to a room is unbelievable. Like, the fact he is up there and smiling and sounds amazing still is just so cool. And another person that I definitely try and channel every day is just how his stage presence was awesome. So it was really cool to see him up there. My dad, he also said he really liked seeing Chris Berman there, and seeing him, you know, obviously had a huge loss in this past year, and seeing him up there doing his thing, it was good to see. So yeah, those were two we were talking about on the walk home.
Now, starstruck by anybody, any non-athletes that you saw there? That, because I know when I see athletes, I expect that. It's when I see, like, a Kevin Costner somewhere, and I can remember being at Pebble Beach covering a golf tournament, and Kevin Costner comes around the corner, and I was just like, holy hell, that's, you know, like, that, you know, that's Bull Durham. I mean, it's like, all of a sudden, I was starstruck by it. You have any of those moments?
I'm trying to think. I mean, it's just kind of crazy when you're walking around and you're, you know, I'm 5'3". So, like, any NBA player that goes by me, I'm, like, immediately kind of like, whoa, hey, that's an athlete right there. Seeing just, I don't know, being in the lobby around some of the bigger NBA names, That was a big one. Michael Phelps. You know, that's a big name. You don't forget when you walk by him. He's a memorable face. So I think those were the two. I mean, it was mostly athletes for me, but yeah, I didn't run into any celebrities. So I'm sure if I did, I would have been pretty starstruck.
When you look at your time at Oregon, when you were in Eugene and you worked at the Daily Emerald as a writer, I have such respect for that publication because I think it's one of the good college papers that's doing good work. What is it about that atmosphere or the culture at that paper that has fostered such enterprising work over the last few years?
I mean, there's a certain element of walking into that newsroom and everyone wanted to be there so badly and everyone wanted to do their stories justice. And I mean, if you look around where a lot of those people from the Emerald Sports Desk have ended up in the past couple of years, it's a testament to all the dedication they've, you know, all the hard work they've put into it. And so it was a really impressive thing, and it definitely prepared me for the real world. Just the level of the high expectations that my peers had for me, and that we shared covering Oregon. So,
Sarah, I wish you the best. Thanks for sharing with us, and congrats on a good night with Dad on the red carpet. That's pretty cool.
Awesome. Thanks, John. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. There's Sarah Scrivens, ESPN personalization writer. I've been on a red carpet. Been in a couple red carpet situations. I was at a Super Bowl, and I can't remember which Super Bowl it was. I think it was South Beach because, you know, and you get to go to all the Super Bowl parties. I've covered 9 Super Bowls, and about half the time I'll go to a Super Bowl party. And I went to the ESPN party that year. It was in Miami, and it was star-studded. Because it had that extra thing. It wasn't just the Super Bowl. It was Miami, and it was the ESPN party. And I had a ticket to go to the Maxim party. I had a ticket to go to the Playboy party. And I had a ticket to go to the ESPN party. So I started the evening by going on the red carpet at the ESPN party. And I get out of the car, and I don't know if I got off in the wrong location or what, but I got out of the car, and my wife was with me, and I'm on the red carpet, and the next car pulls up, and the door opens, and the little Wayne gets out of the car. And I recognized him because he's little, and he's got neck tattoos. And I thought, oh, hey, what's up? And teardrops on his eyes and all that. And as I walked in, of course, like the flashes are going, everybody's taking pictures, and I'm like, this is just like, oh, this is like a one-off thing. Like, I'll get inside, and it'll just be normal. No, you walk inside, and it's like Evander Holyfield's the next person you run into. And then, like, you know, NFL players, NBA players who aren't, you know, NFL players who aren't playing in the game. And it's just, you know, Jennifer Love Hewitt and every star from, you know, Mark Wahlberg to Evander Holyfield to Lil Wayne to, you know, and we never got to the Maxim party. We never got to the Playboy party because the ESPN party was really good and we walked around. There was so much to see. And then after that, another Super Bowl that I went to, we went to, it was when Kim Kardashian had just kind of taken off as a major celebrity and Keeping Up with the Kardashians had just kind of, they just had popped. And so I got an invitation, go to the Kim Kardashian party. And it was co-hosted by Jim Carrey's wife. I'm blanking on her name. Gliss will know it. And I go into the party, and Wade Boggs is there. And the guy on the Gazelle, Tony Little, the Gazelle guy, he's there, and I realize I'm like at the B-level party because the Gazelle guy and Wade Boggs are not getting like the A-list invite. Jenny McCarthy. Thanks, Gliss. It was Jenny McCarthy was there, and they had girls that were like scantily dressed that were gyrating and dancing up on pedestals, and it was cool and everything. But I was like, well, you know, where's Kim Kardashian? This is her party. And at the end of the night, like, because we were leaving at the end of the night, and it was fun. And people kept coming up to me saying, are you Andre Agassi? And and I was like, damn, if I had a tennis racket and tennis shorts tonight, be my thing. But we're standing out front waiting for a taxi. And the guy who was the promoter of the event was standing out there. He was having a cigarette. And I said to him, hey, what are you doing? And he says, oh, this is my party. I said, I thought this was Kim Kardashian's party. He said, no, I paid Kim Kardashian to put her name on the party. And she made an appearance. And I said, well, where was her appearance? He said, I'm pissed about it. So apparently he had paid Kim Kardashian like $10,000 to put her name on the party. Then he charges people to get into the party. And Jenny McCarthy, he paid her as well. But he paid her like 10 grand. She showed up, he said. She got out of her limousine. She walked through the party one time, was there less than a minute, and then left for the 10 grand. That's the life of a celebrity hitting a Super Bowl B-list party. I was more impressed with the photographs I got with Wade Boggs and the Gazelle guy. Every time I see that Gazelle infomercial and the guy with the ponytail riding the Gazelle, you know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about, Gliss? Yeah. Gliss is down there Googling Jenny McCarthy now. So,
hey, I knew it was Jenny McCarthy. I thought, yeah, I was letting you finish your point first. Yeah.
No, but do you know the Gazelle guy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, is it Tony Little? Is that what his name is? I think it's Tony Little.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. You don't have the Gazelle?
I do not, no.
Yeah, it's Tony Little. It's Tony Little, yeah. He has the Gazelle glider. It's like the king of as seen on TV infomercials. And he's on QVC, like whatever. And he was there, and I thought to myself, with his long blonde ponytail and his thing, like, and I thought to myself, gosh, that's the Gazelle guy. That's your claim to fame. Hey, it's the Gazelle guy. I wonder if that he has groupies. I wonder if that gets him attention for being the Gazelle guy. But he has a good story. And personal fitness guy. But I'm just saying, like, I realized Wade Boggs is what did it for me. I was like, man, we're at the wrong party. Wade Boggs is hanging out here. Singles hitter. We need a home run here. Like, Mark McGwire and Bonds were not there. It was Wade Boggs. And I was like, damn it. We're at the wrong place. This isn't the cool thing. And they called it Leather and Lace. It was the Leather and Lace Kim Kardashian, Jenny McCarthy party. And we had VIP access. That was the other tell that I was in the wrong place, because they said, hey, you're a media member and you're on the guest list. You get behind the VIP ropes. And that's why people, I think, thought, oh, there's Andre Agassi. It was just dark enough, you know. And so I'm walking around. I should have had a tennis ball and a racket. Walked around, hitting it around. Yeah, I'm hanging out. I'm Agassi. I'm hanging out with Tony Little and Wade Boggs at this party. I should dig up some of the photographs from that party, because I think that they would be really funny to look back at some of the celebrity people who were in there and see what was going on. And where are they? Kind of a where are they now of the B-level party. But yes, the Super Bowl parties and the VIP thing and the red carpet. Good for the ESPYs and good for our guest, Sarah Scrivens, who chose her dad. Like, and that gets me to thinking, like, if I had one pass that I could use to bring somebody with me to a award ceremony, and let's just say significant other is not available, let's just say she says, hey, I can't make it, you got to take Gliss or Curtis Rogers or even Adriana would be going, take me, put me on the red carpet. Gliss, I would kind of feel like you should be the person I should give the pass to, because you have been here, I think, longer than the other two. And you're the producer. Like, throw you a bone. But that would that be weird to go to the across the red carpet with Gliss?
No.
Adriana's laughing at
here in the background.
You're like, no, it wouldn't. And Curtis Rogers is, you know, Curtis is behind the scenes. Curtis, you like to be, like, low pro, keep your image. And tomorrow is Curtis Rogers Appreciation Day, by the way. On this show.
That's a citywide ordinance.
You're getting a massage tomorrow.
I'm looking forward to it.
During the show.
Okay. Okay.
Full body.
Whoa.
If you're hairy, you need to shave tonight, is what I'm saying.
I'm going to be shaving a lot then.
We used to do this. We did a long time ago with John Strong, the voice of American soccer. He took his shirt off. He was like a grizzly bear. I couldn't believe it. You never, furry little guy, furry critter. You never think, like, you know, you've been in the gym, a guy takes his shirt off, and you're like, whoa, like, what happened there? You know? Because in our mind, maybe, you know, everybody's well-groomed. Is there going to be a whoa moment when your shirt comes off for this massage?
Oh, there will be a whoa moment. Definitely.
Are you like Teen Wolf?
Not too bad. But I could stand a manscape every now and then.
For people who don't know, Curtis Rogers is getting an appreciation day. And as part of that, the first thing I think of is he works so hard on the show that we should maybe treat him to a day off during the show and let him get a massage. Sound good to you?
That works for me.
All right. Leave it right here. Coming up, John Morosi, Major League Baseball Network and Fox Sports. We're going to talk about baseball down the home stretch.
I want you all to listen up. This is important stuff, all right?
Okay. Here we go.
The bald-faced truth.
Call 503-417-7575 or 877-733-0750 or text to 64636.
Here we go in 3, 2.
Now, from the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
John's waterproofing. They do a fantastic job. Whether it's your basement crawl space, water underneath your house, or maybe just a smell that you go, you know, that's just not a smell that is normal. I wonder if something unhealthy, moldy, mildewy is going on. John's waterproofing. Go to bettercrawlspaces.com to see everything that they can do. They're the experts. Whether you are in Salem or Beaverton or Eugene or Portland or Vancouver, anywhere in the Clackamas area, you can get a free estimate. See all about their services and their work by going to their website, bettercrawlspaces.com, or calling them right now at 877-526-8141. That's 877-526-8141. John's Waterproofing. Now, John Morosi does not own John's Waterproofing. John Morosi owns a piece of Major League Baseball Network as the face, voice, words, talent at Fox Sports. He joins us now. How are you, John Morosi?
I am outstanding, John. As always, my friend, far too charitable of an introduction, but I appreciate it. I loved hearing those words that I remember so well from that time I was sitting in the newsroom across from you there back in the summer of 04, words like Clackamas. These are great, great words that I don't often get a chance to hear in Michigan. So that was music to my ears just now.
Let's talk Cubs. Everybody wants to know if the Cubs can come back from this. The trade, did the Cubs do okay with this?
They did, John. They did. And this trade, of course, today they get Jose Quintana from the Crosstown White Sox, only the second trade between those two teams in this century. So going back to 2000, they had one other one back in 06 involving David Aardsma and Neil Kotz. This one is, I think, even bigger than that, I would say, by a wide margin with Jose Quintana. Really, John, to me, that one of the prizes of this entire trade market gets moved here just less than 48 hours after the All-Star game is over. And he's going to help address their rotation needs in the near term. They've got both Kyle Hendricks and John Lackey on the DL. He also gives them some insurance because it looks like Jake Arrieta is likely to test the market this wintertime as a free agent, so he can help their 2018 rotation as well. And also, to me, John, this is a nice conversation changer for the Cubs. They had really struggled going into the break. They're now 5.5 games back of the surprising Milwaukee Brewers there in the National League Central. So this is a big jolt of confidence, jolt of positivity for the defending World Series champions as they begin the second half.
Trade deadline July 31st. You talked to a GM who told you it's easier to move a pitcher than a position player at the deadline. Why is that?
Well, John, it's a good question, and I think that it really has to do with just the roster dynamics, and it's useful, I think, for all of us to remember this as we begin this trade season with all the rumors out there, is that literally every team could have had Jose Quintana from a standpoint of a need. He would have fit for everybody because you have five starting pitchers. You've got seven relievers. And if it's a star starting pitcher, a star closer, you almost always have, let's say, a weak link somewhere in the rotation. Even a team as great as the Dodgers, for example, they could have added Quintana, and he would have been a great fit for them. They would have had room for him because you just then slot everybody else down. Similarly, in the bullpen, if you get a top-end closer or a top-end setup guy, you slot everybody else back down one inning, and you still have a very comfortable roster. At first base, though, for a lot of teams, or right field, for the example of Aaron Judge and the Yankees, the Yankees don't need a right fielder. They need a starting pitcher. They may need a reliever, too, given Betances' control issues, but they do not need a particular position player. That's why at this time of year, John, there's always more robust interest in the top starting pitchers.
John Morosi, MLB Network, Fox Sports with us. What's going on with the home runs? Is it the ball? Can we say that matter-of-factly now?
John, to me, it is multiple things. The ball is part of it. I do believe the ball is, at the very least, wound tighter. Now, maybe it is still within the specifications of the league, but I do believe from hearing pitchers say it publicly, there's something different about the ball. We're even seeing some pitchers, notably Marcus Stroman of the Blue Jays, saying he believes that the fact that the seams are more deeply recessed into the ball makes it harder to grip it. Therefore, it's contributing to the uptick in blisters that we're seeing right now in the game. Also, John, that makes for more aerodynamic ball once it is in flight. And so, therefore, the ball is flying further. We're seeing more and more launch angle conscious players and hitters that want to elevate the ball more. Listen, there's been some climate changes. That, I think, is part of it as well. Warmer weather, ball carries more. So I think there are a number of different factors here. It's a holistic conversation. Of course, pitchers throwing harder, that's part of it as well. I think it's a lot of different factors, but the one that I think people talk about a lot right now, the ball, I do believe, John, that is one of them.
Nelson Cruz is interesting at the deadline. The Mariners have him signed through 2018. Will Jerry DePoto try to move him?
John, I was told that from talking to sources this week, the answer on that is no. That for now, even if the Mariners fall out of this thing, and they're very close to doing that right now, that they likely will look to keep Cruz for one more year. One of the most productive DHs in the game. Of course, we saw him at the All-Star game in that fun moment with Joe West and the picture behind home plate. I think we're going to see him stay around. But, John, to me, I look at the Mariner roster and their club. They made so many changes in the last year, really, year plus since Jerry DePoto took over, that I think that this roster has to settle in. And even if they did decide to make some moves, I'm not even sure after all these changes that Jerry has made where the natural spots to go would be.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.